You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1. Registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of Integrated Partners, a registered investment advisor, or 2. Solely investment advisor representatives of Integrated Partners, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through Integrated Partners, a registered investment advisor. Integrated Partners and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of Integrated Partners and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.
WTCM News Talk 580, welcome aboard. It's New Retirement Radio time with Prout Financial Design, located in Traverse City, Michigan. Mr. Dennis Prout is not here.
That is correct.
But we have Heidi, Nathan, and Beth. We'll start. Heidi Cartwright, good morning.
Good morning, Ron. It's great to be here this morning, and I can't believe this is our last show in June already.
Yeah, I know. 4th of July is next Friday.
I know. Cherry Fest starts Saturday, which sort of is sort of crazy.
Heidi Cartwright, for the record, is the RIPC.
RICP.
RICP, which means
Retirement Income Certified Professional.
All right.
That is correct.
Nathan Prout is with us. Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning, Ron. It's great to be here.
And you are alphabet letters do you get?
None yet. I'm just a normal financial advisor.
Financial advisor. Yeah. And Beth Shire is here. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning, Ron. It's good to be here. I can't believe it's Thursday again already. This week has flown by.
It certainly has.
Yeah.
Unless you're listening Saturday, which would be a replay.
That's true.
All right. And Beth is the director of marketing and everything else.
Yes, sir. Yep.
All right. Dennis is not here, but that's okay. What are we talking about today, gang?
Well, today I was going to start off by talking about an article that we found from Kiplinger. And the title of the article is The 9 Key Milestone Ages in Retirement. And so, Ron, I was wondering if you could participate in this with me. And if I give you an age, if you can tell me why is that important in retirement. And I do have prizes if we are successful in this endeavor.
I'm in.
All right. All right. Age 50. What is unique about age 50?
Crickets. That's when you should first call a financial advisor and begin serious planning.
Well, that was a good try. Good try, but not what I had in mind. When you reach age 50, you are able to take advantage of a part of the contribution limits. It's called the catch-up contribution. So you are able to make a little bit more contribution every year than you would be before age 50. And this is true for all different types of retirement accounts. It includes 401ks, 403bs, SEPs, simples, and IRA and Roth IRAs.
All right. So I should not open. I have the same thing you have. I should not look at this, right?
That's right. That would be cheating. So,
all right.
Yeah. Let's not do that. All right. Let's go on to number 2 and see if Ron can get a check mark here. Age 55.
55 is when you should call a financial advisor if you haven't already.
It's almost like what you should do at 50, right? So the rule of 55 could be an integral part of your retirement plan if you plan to retire early. It allows you to withdraw money from your current employer-sponsored plan, like a 401k, without incurring the 10% penalty for early withdrawals. The money in your other retirement accounts must stay put. So that would be your traditional IRAs and previous 401k plans. If you want to avoid that early withdrawal penalty, you must leave your job when you're 55 or older, and your plan must allow for these withdrawals in order to take advantage of this rule of 55. These distributions will still count as taxable income, so you don't get to avoid the taxes, but what you do get to avoid is that 10% penalty.
I knew that. I just forgot.
And if you have 401k or 403b accounts and you roll it over into an IRA, once the money goes into a traditional IRA, you're stuck with another age, which I won't say because that's the next question, for a penalty. So you want to keep it. That is a strategic move where you can leave the money in that 401k plan where you retired from those ages of 55 to the next age, which is the next question.
Okay.
Sort of gave it away.
It's a huge hint, Ron.
What's huge hint. So you might be able to get this one, right?
Yeah.
What's age 59 and a half?
That's when you can do what you just said.
Ding, ding, ding.
I like the specifics in that answer. That is when you can take out withdrawals from an IRA without the 10% penalty.
Without the penalty.
Right, and that includes 401k plans, Roth IRAs, all the different kinds of retirement plans, 59 and a half.
59 and a half, okay. That's weird. Yep. Not 60.
No. Not
59
and a half, yeah. All probably right. One senator said to another senator, I'm not moving from 60, I'm not moving from 59, and then they compromised, right?
Yep.
All right. So one thing I wanted to note about Roth IRA accounts, they are a little different. You can always withdraw your contributions, but not your earnings at any time without taxes or penalties. So that is very different from the traditional IRA. If the account has been after age 59 and a half, if the account has been open for at least 5 years, you can withdraw both your contributions and your earnings tax-free and penalty-free. However, if you withdraw your earnings before age 59 and a half, before the account has been open for 5 years, you may owe income tax or a 10% penalty. So that 5 years, having that Roth IRA open for 5 years is a good idea. So the sooner you open an IRA, you only have to meet that once, that 5 year time clock. So it's a good idea to just open one. Minimal. You could just put a $500 in and that will start that 5 year clock. Okay. We're at question four. We'll see how you, okay. Age 60. What is special about age 60?
Is it the age that you should see a financial advisor on?
Age 60. I don't remember 60 coming up that often.
This
age
is a tricky
60.
One.
This is new.
We'll count as 2 points if you get it.
All right, so it's new, so I get a break here.
Yes.
I get a mulligan.
You get extra points okay. If you get this one.
I don't know.
So at age 60, this is the first year that you can use super catch-up. This is a recent legislative law that you can use the super catch up if you're 60, 61, 62, or 63.
I was thinking that, but I just didn't say it.
So for example, in 2025, the catch up limit for people age 50, like we talked about in question one, is $7,500. But during this super catch up, you can put in, if you're between 60 and 63, $11,250. So it gives you just a little bit more that you can put in. And this can be really helpful for people who maybe started later or, didn't have enough, space in their budget to make those contributions when they were younger, they can use this time period to sort of add that little bit of extra.
Catch up.
And something to keep in mind is you have to be 60, 61, 62, or 63 on December of that year. So if you're 63 in January, but you have that your birthday that year, you're going to be 64 at the end of the year, and you will not be able to do that additional amount. You have to go back to the age 50 catch-up amount. So, all right. Come on, Ron. I know you can get
this
one here.
I know.
All right. Age 62.
First year that you can begin collecting your Social Security benefits.
Ding, ding, ding,
and
ding.
The crowd
yes,
goes wild.
Very good. That is correct. So this is the earliest age you can begin receiving a benefit, but only a reduced amount. Claiming Social Security before your full retirement age will reduce your benefits by almost 30%. Mm. So it is something to think about. You can substantially boost your Social Security check by delaying collection of your benefits as they increase approximately 8% per year up to an age that we're not going to talk about because that's another question later on. All right, Ron, so you got. Let's see if we can get this going here. Age 65?
That is the first year that, well, you have to apply for Medicare.
Yes, correct.
You
when you turn 65, your initial enrollment period lasts for about 7 months. It starts the 3 months before you turn 65 and then the 3 months after you turn 65. So you have all that time to sign up. If you wait longer than that, your Part B Medicare medical insurance and Part D prescription drug coverage may cost you more if you don't sign up during that period. Even if you can buy an employer-provided insurance, you can enroll while you are working when you turn 65. All right, next one, Ron.
Yep.
Age 66 to 67.
That is...
We need the Jeopardy music here.
That's something to have to do with your IRA, right? No. 66 to 67. You're getting Social Security. That is full. That's the range of your full retirement benefit.
Yes, very good. Yeah. Good. That's great. That is exactly right. That is your full retirement age. And if you claim Social Security at your full retirement age, you get the full benefit. There's no reduction to that amount like there is prior to that. So people who are born in 1959 are turning 66 in 10 months. Approximately sometime in that coming up in these months ahead, that is when they will be eligible for full retirement benefits. People born in 1960 and later, your full retirement age is 67. So it says people born in 1959 could receive their full benefits starting in September of this year. All right. We got a string of correct answers here. Let's keep it going. Age 70.
Oh, age 70. That's the longest you can go with Social Security, right?
Correct. You're well-versed on Social Security. You're really, really getting all the right answers.
You must have started meeting with a financial advisor a while ago, Ron.
I wonder what age you are.
So if
I said, I wonder what age you are.
Not 70.
Yes, but if you wait until 70 to collect Social Security, you'll now collect the biggest monthly benefit possible. This amount is anywhere from 54% to 62% more than if you had started collecting the benefit when you were 62. If you wait until age 70, you get any payments for delayed retirement credits that can increase a check by 24% to 32% depending on your full retirement amount. And just want to say, do not wait past age 70. There is no additional benefit to you. You're just going to miss out on payments that you're entitled to. So that's a big one, age 70. So on the 70th birthday cards, they should put and have you started your Social Security.
Right.
Because so no one forgets. All right, so let's go to question 9. Age 73.
73 is, I don't know.
Okay, 73 is the age you must begin your required minimum distributions or face penalties. At age 73, you are bound to begin taking required minimum distributions, or RMDs is what we usually call them, from your IRAs and employer retirement plans, or face some hefty penalties. The distributions will vary from year to year because it's based on the market value of your account, and the divisor that they use from the chart also changes every year. So that number is not a static number. It's going to change every year, and you need to check out how much
you have
to take out.
How do you know that? If you don't have a financial advisor, how do you know what the RMD is?
Well, you can call your custodian. Oh. A lot of times the custodian will send you a notification saying, hey, you need to take this amount. But we always make sure we go through, and everybody who is 73, or we make sure that they are signed up for those required minimum distributions. And it's a good idea not to wait to the end of the year, right, Nathan? Because the custodians sort of push back a little bit.
They do, yeah. Don't wait till December.
That's right.
To what, to make the payment?
To make the RMD.
Make the withdrawal, rather.
All right. And so I, reading this article, Nathan, I thought of a number that was not on here that, do you know, and maybe you could ask Ron and see if he knows what
Higher than, what was your last number there, 73?
It's actually a little lower. It's 70 and a half, so there's the hint.
Yeah, 70 and a half.
We only deal in acronyms around here.
Yeah.
Not to put pressure on, but you had 4 wrong and 4 right, so, you know.
At 70 and a half, that's not minimum required time. That is, I'm going to know this when you say it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know, I forget.
You want the first letter of
yes.
the acronym? It's a Q.
Oh, that's qualified charitable donation?
There you
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
Qualified charitable distribution. Yeah.
There we go. That's right. So 70 and a half.
Yep.
So that's the end of my list today, but just one thing to keep in mind, they change these numbers all the time. The RMD number, in fact, people born in 1960 and later, their RMD age is going to be 75. So you just ask your financial advisor, check with a financial professional if you're in your 70s about exactly when do I need to start those.
Mm-hmm.
But
we have joining us right now Gary in Traverse City. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning.
Yes.
I had a question. I was wondering if you could give us just a rough estimate on that minimum required distribution. Is it like 5% or 10%, 20%? I know you can't give an exact, but
yeah, usually that first year RMD is right around that 4% mark, Gary. But of course, it's around that 4% of the account value. So,
Okay.
I think I have the actual chart here. If you're 73, it starts at 3.77%. The divisor is 26.5. And it goes up from there. And once you get to be 120, it's 50%.
Okay.
So there you go.
Well, hopefully I'll see that.
All right.
Sounds good, Gary.
Thank you,
Gary.
Very
much. That puts me in the ballpark and answers my question. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We had a question, too. Somebody wants to know, do you think it's better to put all your eggs in one basket, such as a 401k, or have multiple retirement accounts?
So the importance of diversification, obviously within your accounts as well as the type of accounts. I think you should have multiple accounts. Having all of your assets in a 401k isn't a bad thing, but if you have things like a Roth or an individual or a joint account, it affords you more flexibility, especially for where you take withdrawals from, and depending the type of withdrawals or whether or not you can have or can afford more taxable income in a given year. So having the diversity of accounts is nice, but also having, I would encourage you to have the diversity of accounts if you can.
Right, especially with changing legislation out there, right. Like you were indicating. Tax laws change all the time, and having that ability to pivot between a Roth, a qualified account, and a non-qualified account can make a difference.
Don't do it at the expense of missing out on a 401k match or anything like that, though.
So. Right, right. Get the full match.
If you did have, in this example, a 401k and you wanted to diversify, would you wouldn't take money out of that and put it in an IRA. You would open up an IRA with new money, right? Ideally? Or would you just
That's going to come back to the age, though, too. So if you're with your current employer and under 59 and a half, you probably can't move your 401k money anyway.
Yeah.
That would...
But starting a Roth would be a great idea. If your 401k plan doesn't offer that Roth option, starting a Roth IRA outside that plan is great, or start contributing to both the traditional side of your 401k and the Roth side of your 401k.
What's the minimum it takes to open, say, an IRA or a Roth IRA?
Usually the minimum is determined by the asset that you choose. If you start investing with ETFs or mutual funds, they have a lower cost. A couple hundred dollars you can get into ETFs and mutual funds. Some mutual funds are more prohibitive, where you need $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 to get into them. So by asking your financial advisor, they can give you a nice range. And then as you build wealth over the long term, those doors will open for other types of assets.
Is there an age? Like, do you have to be over 18?
You would have to have earned income, though.
Yeah, so... But for early young earners just getting started, they can get into some kind of retirement account relatively affordably.
Even like apps like Robinhood have really opened up that ease of entrance too, because you can buy fractional shares through Robinhood. So, you might be able to get into an IRA for $5 or $10 with something like Robinhood, whereas other custodians might have a limit of like $250 or so.
Right.
One other just came in. One spouse still working. The other spouse is 64. When is the best time to draw Social Security for the 64-year-old? Money is not needed while the wage income's still there. So if you're 64, you might as well wait as long as you can, right? If you don't need it?
It all depends on if, of course, to your individual situation. But there's a lot of things that I would ask. If somebody asked me that question, I'd be like, well, do you have a pension? Who has the higher Social Security benefit? All those kinds of answers come into play when you're trying to answer that.
Yeah. 50% of the time, I don't know. It usually makes sense to wait till at least your full retirement age.
Yeah.
But again, depending on how you feel about your longevity, a lot of factors go into that decision, which is actually a great transition to our next article.
Yay, Texter. Way to go.
Yeah. All right. So you've probably heard the common myth that everyone is required to claim Social Security at age 62. The reality is, you can claim your inflation-adjusted Social Security income anytime between age 62 and 70. Of course, the longer you wait, the greater the monthly benefit. And this article comes to us from Fidelity today. So if you decide to claim early, then are you stuck with that decision? Not necessarily. Social Security allows you to change your mind once during the first year of receiving benefits. But you have to pay back everything you've already claimed that year. So what if you have second thoughts after the first year? Good news, there's a little known strategy to readjust your Social Security claim and produce additional guaranteed lifetime income, which is called the Claim Suspend Restart, or as they'll refer to it here, CSR strategy. So some people claim Social Security early, even though it may not be in their best interest. In fact, 58% of people claim before their full retirement age. says Brad Koval, Director of Financial Solutions at Fidelity. However, CSR may be a good strategy if you can afford to forego some payments for 1 to 3 years in exchange for a greater payout of guaranteed income in later years. So how this works is, so you claim your Social Security benefits before your full retirement age. You suspend your benefits any time between full retirement age and 70 and earn delayed retirement credits. And then you restart collecting your higher Social Security before or at age 70. So about 27% of people claim at the earliest possible age of 62, locking in a 30% permanent reduction in monthly benefits compared to claiming at full retirement age.
And that can be a significant amount.
All right. Looks like we have another caller as well.
28% claim at 62, you said.
27%, according 27, to the article.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We interrupt this talk about Social Security to go to, on the phone line right now, Ken is in Traverse City. Good morning, Ken. Hold on. There, Ken, good morning.
Yes. Is it morning yet?
Yes, it is.
Oh, boy.
Good morning.
Good morning. I am 69 years old. I've been on Social Security disability for better than 20 years. Obviously, I've switched over to full retirement and am now back to work again due to the financial crisis that I've created. I just recently found out that I actually have a retirement account of sorts. I don't know exactly what it is, but I found out that it's a whole $35 or something like that a month. I'm certain that there's really no damage that it could be to me to start taking that, but with me being back to work and collecting Social Security and all that good stuff, should I wait until after I'm no longer working again to start collecting that whopping retirement account that I have out there?
Well, now that you're past your full retirement age, Ken, you wouldn't run into any penalties for collecting additional income, no matter how significant the benefit might be.
And okay. The only reason really to delay, I think, that 35 is if it grows. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if you delayed it, it could grow. Yeah. Maybe
what if it's go $36
to, right. But yeah, you might want to start taking that. You can always just save it and build up a nice emergency fund for yourself.
Yeah. The only other thought would be, depending on how much your taxable income is right now, you might not want to add more to it. But again, you're talking about $35 a month. So right. I wouldn't worry about that one too much.
Yep.
So. Yeah.
Get some gas money there.
Yeah,
that's about it.
All right.
All right. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ken. Hope things go well there. As we go, I want to go back to that one question. Somebody said a couple, one spouse still works. The other one is 64, I assume not working. When's the best time to draw Social Security for the 64-year-old? We don't need the money right now, it says, because we have the wage income. They clarified, says, the worker, the one who's working, has the higher Social Security benefit. So with that information, wouldn't you pull it now? 64-year-olds start collecting now?
So the thing they'll have to deal with there is the spouse who's not working drawing their Social Security. They could only draw it on their benefit. If they wanted to receive a spousal benefit, they would have to wait until the wage earner retired with the higher in order to bump up their own benefit. So they could, but they still will have a reduction from on their own benefit from that full retirement age benefit. Now, depending on when their full retirement age is, that would say how much of a reduction from that amount it would be. But you can do it. It's just if you should do it. And that's where we go back to those extra questions about other income sources. What are your portfolio look like?
So if they wanted to talk about that, because obviously they have to answer a lot of questions.
Right.
And this is just a Social Security question. Do you guys do that kind of thing? Or who would you talk to if you're in that position?
Yeah, so you can talk to the Social Security Administration and run different scenarios, but we are also happy to meet with you and go through those different, because it's interesting to see, you know, even based on normal longevity, what they estimate your total lifetime benefit difference would be too.
Okay. So. Mm-hmm. Somebody says, suppose a young child is paid an employment wage. Can that child start a Roth with minimal tax consequence?
Yeah, so a Roth wouldn't really impact their tax consequence at all. So it doesn't reduce their, you know, their income calculation like a normal IRA contribution does. But yes, they can contribute to a Roth. They just don't get to write off those contributions at all.
But course. The best thing is when somebody's that young, they usually have their taxes zero unless they make enough to push them into a higher tax bracket. But that's why the Roth is so great for kids who are working summer jobs or jobs while they're in school, because they can get that money into the Roth at a very low taxable rate, and then it grows tax-free over their lifetime. So we've had several clients take advantage of that. They bring in their 15, 16-year-old. The key is you have to have earned income that you actually report. You can't just, you know, pocket the cash from mowing the lawn and then say that you have to actually have filed that tax return on that income.
And leading back into Nathan's talk about options, somebody writes, I'm glad you have these experts on Social Security on all the time. I will be turning 62 in November, and listening to the advice from your guests has been beyond helpful for the past couple of years. Thank you so much.
Oh, that's really nice.
Thank you.
All right. So we'll get back into the Social Security article here. So here are 8 key reasons that you might consider this claim suspend and restart strategy. Or, actually, this is why you may have claimed Social Security early. So, one reason is you didn't expect to live that long. So, your health status, longevity, and retirement lifestyle are 3 variables that can play a role in your decision when to claim your Social Security benefits. Generally, many people who suffer from poor health decide to claim early as they don't anticipate that they will live into their 90s. You planned to keep working. So some people planned to work a few more years, but may have been laid off and unable to secure another job. This could, of course, result in claiming Social Security early because they need the money. Another reason, you never established an adequate emergency savings. Having an emergency savings can help protect you and your loved ones from unexpected expenses. If you don't have one, claiming Social Security early may provide you with a cash buffer to cover those expenses. Another reason, you need a bridge to Medicare, that magical age of 65. So one of the biggest challenges for people age 62 to 65 is to find and afford quality health care. Healthcare options between retirement and Medicare coverage include COBRA, private insurance, the public marketplace, and a spouse's plan. And before we get to the next reason, it looks like we have another question.
Well, we'll go to Petoskey. Margie's on the line for Prout Financial Design. Good morning, Margie.
Good morning. So I am 63. I'll be 64 in January. And I was married for over 10 years, and we are divorced, but he is still working part-time. He's semi-retired right now. I have not claimed anything. I've thought about getting on Social Security, but I want to wait at least until I'm 65. I do have, a little bit of retirement plan because I was raising a bunch of kids, so I didn't start early enough, unfortunately. But for the last 15 years, I've been putting away. So I don't know if I should, you know, wait until I'm 65, because I mean, I've been working for over 30 years, but still, you know, I mean, I'm at the same job, but I don't know if I should just go ahead and maybe start drawing on Social Security in January when I turn 64, or wait another year.
Well, those are all big questions, but you hit a lot of interesting options for yourself. Mm-hmm. One, that you were married for 10 years before you got a divorce. So what that entitles you to is a spousal benefit. And since you're divorced, you do not have to wait for your ex-husband to have claimed Social Security in order to claim a spousal benefit. Then you also have your own benefit from your work history, and so you could opt to take your benefit or your spousal benefit, depending on which one is higher.
It'll be his.
Okay, and then, well, remember, a spousal benefit is half of what the wage earner's benefit is. That's what the spousal benefit is.
Does she get a spousal benefit along with her own Social Security benefit?
She could choose whichever one is higher.
Oh, okay.
But she won't get both at the same time.
Right. Yeah. Right. And so some other things to remember, too, I would just say is there is an earnings limitation if you claim before your full retirement age. And I believe, I don't have that number, it's around $25,000.
Yeah.
And so if you earn more than $25,000 and you're collecting Social Security, they will start reducing your benefits that you receive. So if you're still working during that period, you really want to make sure that you're not going to have your benefits reduced. It's better to, you know, it might be benefit you to wait until you actually retire to claim, or wait till full retirement age. Because once you hit full retirement age, you can make as much money as you want and they won't reduce your benefits.
Okay. So. All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call, Margie from Petoskey. And we're about 11 in front of the hour. We'll take a quick break with Prout Financial Design here for New Retirement Radio on WTCM.
I'm Taylor Riggs, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks rallied at the open. Investors are looking at more updates on the economy. New claims for unemployment benefits declined to 236,000 last week. Durable goods orders rose 16.4% in May. The GDP for the first quarter has been revised lower to a drop of 0.5%, though the quarter was impacted by stocking up on imports ahead of anticipated tariffs. NVIDIA shares opened higher after closing at a record yesterday, and Microsoft opened in record territory. Shares of memory chip maker Micron Technology are narrowly higher. It provides memory for artificial intelligence. Sales and earnings jumped in the recent quarter. And McCormick shares up more than 5.5%. Its earnings were slightly better than expected. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Ginny Coselda, invested in you.
Sponsored by AxCap Ventures. America, listen up. Gold prices are breaking records. With inflation raging and central banks hoarding, every American should own gold. And like President Trump said, whoever holds the gold makes the rules. AxCap Ventures owns one of Nevada's largest undeveloped gold deposits and trades for pennies on the dollar. This could be your way to ride the gold boom. AxCap trades under GARLF on the OTC. Visit axcapventures.ca today.
Attention golfers, looking to have fun and do good? Join Northwestern Michigan College at the Scholarship Open on Wednesday, August 6th at the Grand Traverse Resort and Spa. Since 1982, the Scholarship Open has raised over $2 million to help NMC students achieve their dreams. Register your team or as an individual, become a sponsor, or volunteer today. Visit nmc.edu/golf to sign up. That's nmc.edu/golf.
July 4th, that day in 1776, America declared it would fight for its independence, fight to secure its right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Since then, men and women have stepped forward in that fight, and they continue to do so. Hi, this is Michael Roof from Grand Traverse County Veterans Affairs. Our office is here to help you navigate the benefits you've earned through service to your country. Grand Traverse County Veterans Affairs on Lafreniere Road. Make an appointment by calling 995-6070.
WTCM News Talk 580. Welcome back to Prout Financial Design's new retirement radio. Heidi Cartwright in today, along with Nathan Prout and Beth Shire, all from Prout Financial Design. And Jack Johnson.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's from Hawaii, right? Is that guy?
I don't know.
From Hawaii.
I don't think so.
Must have been somebody else. It was John Jackson, I'm thinking. No, I don't know.
I think that was Willie Nelson.
The answer was right on the tip of your tongue.
We had a couple of questions and follow-ups on the text line. Earlier we had a question said, is it better to put all your eggs into one basket like a 401k or have multiple retirement accounts? That person wrote back, said, so, if I want to diversify, is that a reason to come see your guest, Prout Financial Design? Otherwise, my 401k is just with my company, so I'm not sure how else they could help me currently. I'm 39 with just personal savings and a 401k. So I guess if he wanted to do a IRA or anything, help him with that? Or
We could certainly give you some ideas. Again, assuming you're getting your full match from your employer on your 401k, depending on your income situation, it might make sense to even up your 401k contribution beyond that. But then, too, we could start talking about Roths or other types of accounts that might make sense for your situation. Yeah. So
our first meeting is complimentary, and we can give you a lot of ideas of how to go about doing that. And like Nathan said, there's a lot of places out there where if you're just starting out with an IRA or a Roth IRA outside of your employer plan, that you can get in and use those platforms. A lot of them are online, but we can definitely give you some ideas and some ideas of what to invest in if that's what you choose to do.
Yeah, just call our office at 231-947-3992, and we'd be happy to set up an appointment and talk with you about that.
There you go. 39, good age to get planning.
Yes.
Yeah. Sounds like
that was not in your quiz today,
so.
but it would be. What is age 39? It's a good time to call your financial planner.
Well, that's a whole different quiz.
All right. Let's see. If your ex-spouse is not retirement age, but you are, can you apply for that spousal Social Security benefit?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
You do not have to wait for that ex-spouse to have started their own benefit.
All right. And where does the spouse benefit come from? Does it affect the ex-spouse's benefit? What if I'm on Social Security disability?
It does not affect the spouse's benefit. If you're taking a spousal benefit off your ex-husband or wife, it does not affect your ex-husband or wife's benefit. It's just that you do not have to wait for them to actually start claiming.
All right. And you can make an appointment with Social Security. They have an office in Traverse City.
They do.
Because they really specialize.
I think they prefer a lot of phone appointments. And you'll want to do your best to set up your Social Security administration.gov account before that as well. You might be able to get a lot of those questions answered before that, too.
And we did have somebody that said, may I ask who the older guy, who I believe is retired, that's oftentimes with the guests that you have on now, he's very much appreciated. That would be probably Bob Simpson.
Old guy Bob Simpson.
Yeah,
old
Bob.
But I'm sure we'll have him back on the show at some point later in the year or early next year. But, he is the guy who has come in and helped us with those Social Security questions.
All right. That wraps up another episode of Prout Financial Design's new retirement radio. Thanks for your texts and calls. And you can always check with Prout Financial Design 947-3992 on the web at proutfinancialdesign.com.
Excellent.
Loads of information. Heidi Cartwright, Nathan Prout, and Beth Shire, thank you all.
Thank you, Ron.
Thanks, Ron.
Have a wonderful day.